The workday is done. Social media is heating up.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Welcome to Sports Talk with Personality. You riding with us?
Yes.
Great. Coming to argue?
That's a given. That's a given.
Even better.
Let's get the show going.
Clock out, crank up.
People got the popcorn. Let's give them a show.
The drive starts now on WSJS.
Yes, it does. You are on a Wednesday drive. Right here on WSJS News Talk Sports for the Triad, I'm Will Dalton. The WD. Rock with me today. Let's do this. Because even when the NCAA tournament's over, with Michigan being crowned. Yes, Morgan, I had to get it in there one more time at least. There's so much still going on in the world of college basketball. Thank you for that transfer portal. The Greensboro Swarm also is happening. The G League Finals start tonight out at the Novant Health Fieldhouse. We got brawls going down in baseball. The Hornets are disappointing me last night. So there's lots to do. But let's start with Chapel Hill. Let's start with what we saw yesterday, right as these mics turned off. Because when that happened, first of all, you listened to Colin Cowherd, I would assume, on this station. Shout out to the Herd. But in Chapel Hill, Michael Malone was officially introduced as the next new, not next anymore, the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. And introductory pressers, they're one of those things that you have to be very careful with what you take from it. Don't take too much from it. Looking at UNC State. It's always very optimistic and very celebratory. That's kind of the nature of it, usually, unless you butcher it. But that, more times than not, it's very celebratory and positive, and we're going to go conquer the world type stuff. But I will say this. I genuinely felt Michael Malone won this press conference yesterday. So he comes in, and Bubba Cunningham, the AD, was very quick to make a joke. So Larry Brown, he's the only coach to ever win both an NBA title and a national championship in college. And he was already making jokes about, you know, you've already done it in the NBA, Mike Malone, or Michael Malone, that's what he likes to be called. We're already moving the banners over a little bit tomorrow to get you ready for that other one you got to get. No pressure, though, according to Bubba Cunningham. But on a serious note, it did feel very unified. It felt very genuine from Michael Malone, the things that we heard. I told you this when we heard from Justin Gainey a week ago. You can usually tell when somebody's being sincere or not. Humans are very good at detecting BS and detecting intent. And you can kind of tell when somebody's being rah-rah or when they're actually like telling you how they feel. And I felt very genuine things coming from Michael Malone yesterday. It's the first time, again, in our lifetimes that they're going outside the family over there for the hire. And while that was acknowledged, they actually did a very good job yesterday. That point was acknowledged quite a bit throughout the press conference, whether it was Bubba, whether it was the incoming AD, Steve Newmark, Lee Roberts, or Michael Malone himself. That was recognized, but they also made sure that while that is very much the case, I felt like they were doing the best job they possibly could of reassuring everybody in Carolina world that they're going to have reverence and respect and do for what came before in Roy Williams and Dean Smith. In fact, getting to something that Michael Malone said that I thought was very genuine, and it was pretty quick in his press conference on this point, here he was. He was rocking a navy blue suit, the Carolina blue tie. It worked very well for him. Some people come in and they can't rock that color. It looks off, looks weird. Michael Malone looks like a fit. It looked good. He was rocking the DES pin, the Dean E. Smith pin, so embracing that. Here he was talking about Roy Williams and the Carolina family.
I met him for the first time today, but I feel like I've known this person for 10 years. It's Coach Roy Williams. and your beautiful wife, Wanda. I really appreciate you guys making the effort to be here today. It means the world to me. And what became crystal clear to me when I talked to Coach was how important this university was to him. And I could feel the passion in his voice. I'm not from North Carolina. I didn't play here. I'm coming from outside the family to be a new member of the family. And we're excited about that. But Coach, you had a profound impact. And every time I spoke to you and I said, Coach, I'm not coming. I'm staying in the NBA. And every time I thought about it, I talked to my wife, Jocelyn. I'd say, you know what? This is North Carolina. This is Roy Williams. This is Dean Smith. This is Coach Guthridge. And I wanted to be a part of something so much bigger than me. And to have you here means the world. I want to say thank you.
Pretty sincere stuff, talking about the legacy that's in Chapel Hill, specifically in basketball. And it is true that he turned down and said no to this job a few times. You know, Steve Newmark was very persistent. They apparently flew out. I think he and Bubba flew out on Easter Sunday and spent about 4 to 5 hours at Michael Malone's house. You know, they really wanted him for this job, or he was one of the people they really wanted for this job, of course. He said no a number of times, and he shifted a little bit. So this wasn't just something that he jumped the gun on. So that's the Roy, and that's one of the pieces. And again, we heard echoes of that throughout the press conference, things just like that. But evolving is good. He did make a point to recognize the new, the way things are going to be moving forward while having the reverence, again, for the Carolina family. Because one of the things that makes Coach K so great, one of the things that makes Dan Hurley so great, is they evolve. And they're not rigid. They're not stuck in their ways. And, oh, this is the way I've always done it, so that's the way we're going to do it. No, things change. And, boy, college basketball and sports has changed. Malone, while recognizing the past, is going to be embracing that change. And here he was on that yesterday.
I am an outsider coming into a really intimate family. I have to balance the delicate balance of being true to the past and honoring tradition while also having my eyes on the future. The game is always changing. And so if you see us doing things a little bit differently, it's okay. Embrace that. It's okay. All right, you can see I have Dean Smith, his lapel pin here. Tremendous amount of respect for what this program and the history that they occupy in NCAA basketball history. But we're going to do it our way. I'm going to use people like Coach Williams, Coach Eddie Fogler, Pat Sullivan, Sean May, all the guys that are here, and learn from them and push forward.
So there you go. Embracing. He's going to, you know, continue to use people around him that have already been there, like Sean May and Roy Williams, of course, honoring the past, but he's going to be moving forward in another way as well, because you have to if you're going to evolve into a better version and get Carolina back to where you want it to go. Michael Malone, he said that Eric Hoots brought, and Hoots is going to stay on staff there, so is Sean May. He brought like 10 to 12 former Carolina players up to his office yesterday. He also, Coach Malone, he got a bunch of texts from former players, such as people like Danny Green and Harrison Barnes, people that he coached in the NBA. And they're ready to embrace somebody with a new vision that can get Carolina basketball back where it belongs. And Michael Malone, he spoke on that meeting with some of those former players yesterday.
Tyler Hansbrough grabbed me by the arm and said, I'm so happy you're here. I know we're gonna play hard and we're gonna be tough, but that's not lost on me. That means the world to me that these players and I challenged the former players that were in my office. Yes, I know I'm not a guy that has been here before, but I want to do everything I can to make sure the former players are coming back, because they all said to me it's not like it used to be. So one of my goals is not just on the court, wins and losses, but how can I even strengthen that family atmosphere and get guys coming back and help pay it forward? Because you always want to pay it forward to the guys that are coming next after you. And I think we're going to have a great chance to do that.
Danny Green on his podcast yesterday was talking some more about Michael Malone and just how he is as an X's and O's coach. And one of the things that he said was, back when Malone was on staff in Cleveland, where Danny Green was there to start his NBA career, and where LeBron James was early on in his years, of course. Like, Malone would draw up things on the board in the huddle that LeBron would be like, whoa, that's good stuff there. Like, that's the way Danny Green described it. So that's what you're getting now in Chapel Hill. Now, there were, speaking of former players, there were a number of current players or current-ish players in attendance yesterday. Caleb Wilson was in attendance, front row. You love to see that. Again, Carolina's top cheerleader from start to finish in his time there. Derek Dixon and Zayden High were both there. They are both in the transfer portal as of yesterday. There is a chance, a lot of people seem to think that maybe there's a chance Derek Dixon decides to come back. Maybe just entering the portal was something he was already going to do, you know, before yesterday, and it's just a formality. Maybe he talks to Michael Malone and he decides to come back. That might be in his best interest. I don't know. Henry Vessar was another one that was there. That's another one that's going to be a very high priority to try and get back. He's going to go through the NBA draft process, but he's not a lock as a first-round guy. He might benefit. You know, again, what you see in the development of Jokic, maybe Vessar wants in on some of that. Jaren Stevenson was not there, which is pretty, I'm not going to say noteworthy. It's noteworthy because he's one of the guys that you could get back, but you don't know whether you don't know his status, or we haven't heard anything on Jaren Stevenson yet. But I wouldn't read too much into that. Jim Tanner, Buzz Peterson, Sean May, they have all, because that was a big question. Okay, with this hiring process and the portal opening yesterday, and a lot of players already knowing what they're going to do, or at least already knowing they're entering the portal, are you getting a bit of a step behind? Are you behind on all of this? But it sounds like Sean May, Jim Tanner, Buzz Peterson are going to stay in place, and they have already been compiling information for Malone. He said that yesterday. And one thing in terms of the players that are already on the team, he said he's going to make it a priority. His top and first priority was to talk to them and kind of let them know what he's all about. And then they're going to build the roster from there, and they're going to go outside from there. But he did make it a priority to talk to those guys and at least kind of let them know a little bit more about what this is going to look like, even the guys like Derek Dixon that are already in the portal. Malone also made sure to give some love to Hubert Davis. And he talked a lot about how it was kind of bittersweet yesterday because he has such a respect for Hubert Davis. He said Hubert sent him a very nice text message the day the news came out, so 2 days ago. And he, you know, the bottom line is, no matter how you feel about the Hubert Davis tenure, that dude is Carolina basketball through and through in his soul. And so he's still very much esteemed in that community, or that family, I should say. But that was pretty cool that he got a nice message from Hubert. Lastly, he did speak on the Carolina-Duke rivalry. He did do that. Chris Lee of WRAL, formerly of WXII here in the Triad, asked him about that. You know, obviously the Duke rivalry, but also NC State, Wake Forest. And here was Michael Malone on the rivalries.
You know, watching that game at home this year, when Seth Trimble hit that corner three, my wife and I were jumping around in our room back in Colorado. I mean that sincerely. Our daughter was at the game. She FaceTimed me as they were leaving the arena, and just to be a part of that moment. You know, life is about moments, and that's a moment that all the Carolina fans, you know, will always remember. But I'm excited to be a part of that rivalry. I want to add to that rivalry. I want to win. You know, and I know that Duke is a program down the road, and they've had success. But you know, as I said earlier, I didn't come here to be second best. I didn't come here to lose in the first round of the ACC tournament. You know, I came here to win, and win at a big level, win at a high level.
Michael Malone introduced officially yesterday as the next head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. 336-777-1600 is the number to call. If you want in, if you have reaction to what we heard from Michael Malone yesterday, if you have a prediction for the Masters, because it's Augusta week, it's here. Morgan Corson, are you ready for some golf?
Always ready for some Masters.
Have you celebrated Michigan's title enough, or you need some more time on that?
There's never enough time to celebrate.
Oh, man. We love some golf around here. We really do. That's why we're going to be talking to John Dell of the Winston-Salem Journal in about 15 minutes. He's out at Augusta, where the par 3 is happening right now. Kevin Hart is caddying for Bryson DeChambeau. That's a real thing that's happened. In terms of the Masters, we're less than 24 hours away from the beginning of the Masters. And you had Rory having his championship dinner last night. He did joke that he didn't want to go too Irish on the menu because he wanted people to actually enjoy the food. That's a real thing. He's going to be looking to defend his title, though. I'm curious, is the pressure, you know, being off him from finally knocking that down, is that going to help him, or is that going to be like he lets his guard down a little bit? Do you have a favorite for Masters Week, Morgan? Or you don't know yet? You're still working on it.
I'm still thinking about it. I have a few in mind.
Okay.
I have a few in mind. I'll get to you tomorrow.
That's code word for he ain't ready yet. But I will be curious about the Rory McIlroy storylines. You also got Scottie Scheffler, who he's been going through a bit of a rough patch. He's trying to get his third green jacket. I personally don't think that's going to affect him all that much, because he's proven to be one of the more mentally tough golfers in the world. I mean, the dude got arrested at the PGA Championship a couple of years ago and went out and torched the field that day. Like, he's pretty mentally tough. I don't think he's, and he kind of made it a point to talk about when you go up, when you get there, everything kind of melts away and you don't really worry about stuff anymore. It's kind of a vibe that Augusta has. Also, you got a couple of, several. I think like 8 or 9 live golfers in the field, but the two that are like the big ones are John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. Those are the big ones, the biggins. Rahm, playing pretty well lately. He's finished so far in all of his live events this year, 2nd, 5th. He won one, and then a couple of other second place finishes. Bryson DeChambeau, however, is as in good a shape as he's ever been, and he's won his last two live events. In fact, that's my pick to win the Masters, Bryson DeChambeau. Do you have thoughts on this, Morgan?
Not a bad pick at all. He's been on top of his game, I feel like, the last 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Been swinging it good. Been feeling it, too, it sounds like, the last couple months.
He has, and he was in the last group. He had a disappointing finish last year, unraveling a little bit in that final group. I think he's going to have a good grip on this course, better than ever, and I think he's going to learn from some of the mistakes a year ago and take it home to the finish. Bryson DeChambeau is my Masters champion.
You're on the Triad's only live sports talk show, The Drive. You ain't on my level. Can't you see I'm just too swagged out? We say what you're yelling at your radio.
John Dell of the Winston-Salem Journal, live at Augusta. Going to join us in less than 10 minutes. So we get things cooking here on a Wednesday drive. But you actually had an update, Morgan, on the fight that took place last night. Braves had a bit of a scuffle.
Yeah, I wouldn't call much of a scuffle, more like a brawl.
Yeah,
benches exactly cleared. Right. Jorge Soler and Ronaldo Lopez traded punches last night. Both of those players have been suspended by the MLB for 7 games.
Quite a few of those punches missed, too. That's one of my favorite things about...
Yeah, but the one that hit, he had the ball in his hand and smacked him across the helmet, so
yeah.
That's a pretty brutal hit.
It's one of my favorite things about baseball brawls is like whenever they like swing at absolutely nothing, but they swing with all their might. It's just absolutely hilarious. I love it. All right, before we get to John Dell, the Charlotte Hornets, the primetime Hornets, as I call them, they looked good last night. This felt like a playoff game. This very well could be a playoff match, a series that we see a little later down the road. Not so much later, as the playoffs going to be starting here very soon. LaMelo Ball played absolutely out of his mind last night. Dude had, I think, 23 points in the first half. And then what does he do? The first bucket, just cans the first bucket he takes out of the halftime break. The dude is just playing terrific lately. I think that minutes restriction that so many fans griped about when Charles Lee put him on it, I think that's really saving LaMelo Ball's, maybe his career, in terms of staying healthy and being available. Because that is the greatest ability, is availability. He finished with 36 points, 12 of 24 from the field. Part of the problem last night is you didn't have Coby White. He was out. So that we knew that was going to hurt. Also, Jaylen Brown, pretty good. He played out of his mind as well, had 35 of his own. Tatum poured in a measly 23. The Celtics were cooking, and part of why they were cooking is because it was the first game all year everybody was healthy. Every person was accounted for. So that was pretty good for them. But again, there is a real chance we see these teams in the playoffs. The Hornets, they're locked in, it seems like, in that 9 spot as of right now in the play-in mix. The Toronto Raptors ended up winning their game last night against the Heat. They actually match up again, both of those teams, tonight. So, back-to-back. Really, what it all comes down to, the Hornets are going to be a play-in team. That's pretty much established at this point, with just the Pistons and the Knicks left to go on their schedule. It really comes down to, are they going to stay 9 seed where they only have one opportunity, or do they get that 8 seed where they get a couple of opportunities to play some games to get into the playoffs? But Jaylen Brown, though, the other part of the conversation last night, primetime Hornets, as I mentioned, so everybody had their eyes on him. Jaylen Brown actually had some interesting words to say about the Charlotte Hornets last night after the game.
This team kind of reminds me of us when we were like when we were younger, like young group, shoot the ball well, got a lot of different guys who can beat you and like have a fearlessness. So they came out ready to play. Today was like a playoff-like game, and we found a way to win.
Kind of reminds him of the young Celtics back in his early days. Also heard Tracy McGrady last night after the game, or actually no, it was before the game, pregame. He said that he thinks that we're going to be talking about Charlotte for the next 5 to 10 years because of the culture that they're building there. So from top to bottom, you know, he's talking about they're doing a really great job with their personnel. People are, you know, the Hornets are in a great spot right now that we're having these conversations about where they're going to be in the play-in tournament. And the fact that we're disappointed that they lost that game against the Celtics last night, because they really needed that one to have a chance at getting past the play-in and not even have to be in it at all. So Hornets are in a great spot in the big picture, but they need to be finishing things strong down the stretch here the last couple of games of the regular season. Getting to the transfer portal very quickly before we get to John Dell out at Augusta. Few updates locally. Paul McNeil from NC State has entered the portal. That's not ideal. That really needed to be one of the first main guys that you got back if you're Justin Gainey in your first year at NC State, so that's a bummer. One that I didn't see coming was Nick Heminia at Duke. He's entered the transfer portal. Didn't see that one coming. I could see Darren Harris going to the portal because it just, you know, it didn't go like he planned for it to in his second year. Like, I think he wasn't going to play in the first year that he was there, in the Cooper Flagg year. That was understood. And I think he expected more in year two. It didn't happen. And so Darren Harris, Nick Heminia are both a couple of Blue Devils that are in the portal, as well as Paul McNeil from NC State. We'll keep you posted on the transfer portal as we continue to get more information on it.
Check this out.
We're on in 5.
We've got opinions hotter than your car seat right now. You're on The Drive.
Back at it on a Wednesday drive right here on WSJS. And joining us live out at Augusta from the Winston-Salem Journal, he's one of our favorites, John Dell. John, how we doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing back in the triad?
Not too bad at all. Now, where are you calling from out there? Because I know there's no phones allowed out on the course. So where are you at right now?
Oh, no, I'm on the tee box at 12. They said this was fine.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm gullible. I hate it.
I'm just in the media room. You can have your phones here in the media. It's like a media hotel.
Yeah.
Really nice. So I'm doing a little work and then was out at the course earlier today walking around. So it's a good day, a little breezy. Those winds are going to play or wreak havoc with these guys here over the next 4 days.
Before we get to some of the players out in the field there, let's actually start with that first piece because there is no phones allowed out there on the course, which makes it a very unique environment. I did see where they have, what do they have, like free phones out there that you can use and pay you, can, to make calls to whoever you need to?
They've got like three or four banks of phones
okay. All
spread out throughout the course, and they're free. You just got to know the number since, you know, no one knows the numbers anymore. It's hard to make calls, but no, they've got for the patrons can make calls, and it's a pretty cool deal.
Now, what is the vibe like out there with there being no phones? You know, because it kind of, to me, I've never been to Augusta. I would imagine it makes it feel a little more exclusive. There's more appreciation and attention to what's happening in front of you. But as somebody who's been going out there for years now, what is that vibe like?
It's the best week of the year. I mean, it's so refreshing. It's old school. It's people talking to each other. Strangers talking to each other, and everyone, you know, they're feeling around in their pockets for their phones, and they're not there. So I love it. I think it's great. I mean, I kind of walk around, leave my phone in the media room, and go walk around, and I feel like, you know, I'm stealing because I don't have to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, I love it. I hope they continue to do it forever and ever because I just think it kind of brings you back to. It's a tradition, and, you know, you don't need your phone out here. Everything is, you know, is laid out for you. You just kind of, you take pictures in your mind, so to speak. So I think it's really cool.
John Dell with us here of the Winston-Salem Journal, joining us live from Augusta. So getting to some of the storylines, Rory the other day, he joked that the most difficult part about defending his Masters title is going to be the other 90 players in the field. How much difficulty do you think he's going to have, you know, going and defending his title? Because for some people, they might view that as, all right, now you've got the monkey off your back, so you can be a little more at ease. But maybe that could cause a subconscious level of maybe not as hungry for it as you were after chasing that first one. How much difficulty do you expect Rory to have?
I think he's going to be right there. I would be surprised if he tanks it. I just think that, you know, the pressure's off him. Like you said, so I just think he can go out there, play, and, you know, the course is set up for the guys that can hit it a mile, because with it fast and firm, they can bomb it off every tee and be fine. So Rory's one of the bombers out there, so I expect him to be right there, and, you know, he'd be the first one to repeat since Tiger in 01 and 02, so he's definitely capable of repeating, and, you know, like, the pressure's off. I mean, so just go out there and freewheel it. And he might be there on Sunday.
You mentioned Tiger Woods there. Obviously, Tiger not there, you know, because he's dealing with some of his issues that he's been having. How much of a topic of conversation has Tiger Woods been out there? Since you're at Augusta, you kind of hear some of the chit-chat. Like, how much of a topic of conversation has Tiger Woods been the last few days?
I don't think there's been much. I mean, I think, you know, I actually went over and talked to Tiger's agent, Mark Steinberg. I've known him for years. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm one of the millions of Americans who, you know, we feel a little guilty because we just want him to play golf again. But he's got a lot more issues than that. And I just told Mark, you know, good luck with everything. And he was great. And he just said, yeah, Tiger just, you know, he's going to get it straightened out. And you know, he's known him for years, Mark has. So it's not really a big topic of conversation. Only that he's not here is that because we were thinking maybe he was going to come and contend again.
Right.
Would have that been cool? But no, he's got other, like you said, he's got other stuff to worry about. So, you know, and same with Phil, you know, Mickelson, there hasn't really been a lot of conversation, you know. And, you know, I'm old school a little bit. This is my 29th straight year. And, I, you know, those guys were the needle for so long. I mean, they won, what, 8 titles between them? And so they were the storylines for year after year after year. So it's kind of refreshing. You know, it's a new era. We're not going back. It's a new era in golf, and I think people, you know, have to realize that.
John Dell of the Winston-Salem Journal with us here on WSJS. Now, Scottie Scheffler, you know, he's been having a bit of a rough patch here lately, but I feel like he's one of those guys that, like, I think he's one of the most mentally tough golfers, if not the most mentally tough golfer in the world, with some of the things he's overcome. I mean, the dude got arrested and then went out and torched it on the PGA Championship later on after that. How do you expect, do you think his recent struggles are going to leak into this week, or do you think this is just going to be a fresh slate for him?
Well, you know, he's only won two out of the last four here at Augusta. So,
yeah.
And the guy's only 29 years old. So I think if something's not working in your game and you come here and you've won twice before, I think sometimes that has a way of working itself out. So he's, like you said, he loves this place and he's mentally strong. And like, he's another bomber and mm-hmm. he can make shots and he can putt. So that, that bodes well for him. Maybe winning his third in 5 years, which would be a historic feat. I don't not a lot of guys have done that.
So I like Bryson DeChambeau this week. He's won his last couple of LIV events, and he was right there in the mix last year in the final round until he wasn't in the final group. Who does John Dell have taking the green jacket this year?
Well, I have Bryson and Xander are kind of my two picks.
Okay.
Xander Schauffele. I know our guy Josh picked him the last four or five years.
Oh, yeah.
but I just think, and a little known, it's kind of a stat that I don't know if it means anything, but, you know, Xander and Bryson are both 32 years old, and the average age of the last 20 Masters winners is 32 years old. So wow. You can take that for what it's worth, but maybe maybe Xander can win his first green jacket on Sunday.
Last thing for you here on the way out, because I know you're out there at Augusta and you're got a lot going on. We appreciate you taking a little bit of time for us. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about Wake Forest and, you know, where they're at right now, because they've had a number of players enter the portal, Juke Harris most notably, because I know one of the top priorities for Steve Forbes after that loss to Clemson in the ACC title, he was telling us, was retaining him if he decided not to go, you know, to the NBA, and he's going to be entering the portal regardless. So however way it goes, like, he's not coming back to Wake. How surprised were you by this?
Not very. I mean, I know he's kind of a bottom first round,
yeah,
maybe top of the second round. I mean, I actually went up to four Kentucky fans that they had all their Kentucky gear on and say, so is Juke Harris going to Kentucky? And they didn't know what I was talking about. So I think I don't think they were basketball fans. They must have just been Kentucky fans. But, I hope Juke can get to the NBA. I think he's ready for the NBA, but I just don't think Wake has the finances to keep him. And if he ends up in another school, we all know why. And
right.
So I know Juke, to me, he's been pretty loyal to Wake and to Steve. So, I mean, I don't think that can work out for him coming back to Wake. But, you know, if he gets to the NBA, more power to him, because that's what these kids, go to play college basketball, at least the high-level ones.
You know, you hit on something there in terms of the NIL piece being a big reason why they, wouldn't have been able to retain him. How much difficulty do you think they're going to have putting together a good roster for next year, given some of the things that have been reported about the NIL?
Well, by my count, they have one player left, Isaac Carr.
Yeah.
And then they have the two twins coming in. So it's the roster is slim at this point. I think they've lost 11 guys. I think Miles Colvin is the latest. Omaha,
yeah.
Ballou.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had any time to write this.
Sure.
Because I'm going to try and get on that. But, the portal's open, and Steve's got a lot of salary cap and a lot of roster spots and scholarships. So, he's going to have to do what he does best, and that's spot talent, and hopefully he can build it. I mean, the reality is Michigan won the national championship with five transfers. So every coach in America is going to think, well, why can't we do that? So that's the nature of college basketball. And guess what? The ratings were through the roof, so people are still watching, so it doesn't matter.
John Dell, the Winston-Salem Journal, we appreciate you taking a little bit of time for us today, and we'll chat with you when you get back from Augusta.
Sounds good. You guys have a good week.
All right. There he goes, John Dell does a great job out there at Augusta every year. You know who else does a great job? YMCA. Good spot for you. Good spot for personal trainers. So, a lot of times, you might want to have somebody else hold you accountable. I mean, it's a real thing. It happens to the best of us. Things are fast-paced. You just can't find the time on your own. You need a trainer to get you in there to get your fitness journey going. Well, the YMCA, their trainers are good about that, and they got great expert guidance. You're going to stay motivated. You're going to stay accountable. You're going to stay on track, quite frankly. So whether you're a beginner, whether you're a seasoned athlete and you're just getting back into the mix of things, the Y, they're going to help you build and sustain healthy habits, because that's what it's all about, is a lifestyle change. It's not just a, you know, let me drop 20 pounds in a few weeks. Like, no. It's a mindset shift. It's a lifestyle shift. You got to do that. So visit ymcanwnc.org to get more information on that. All right. I still can't believe Kevin Hart's out there caddying for Bryson. Saw Bryson's out there giving him some tips on his driver. Did.
It's the news of the world's greatest entertainer, the hottest working man in show business. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show.
Will Dalton is live, local, and locked in. You're on The Drive.
On a Wednesday drive, right here on WSJS. And before we get to BDOT and PJ Hairston, I want to play some fact or fiction, an NFL-themed fact or fiction. And what this is Morgan is going to give me a statement, a storyline, but it's more so a statement. And I have to say whether it's fact or fiction, whether that is going to come to pass and be a real thing or if it's not, aka fiction. Let's get to it right now.
All right. First up on the agenda here for fact or fiction, the Kansas City Chiefs will figure it out and be on top of the AFC West at the end of the regular season.
I'll say it's a fact. I think it's a fact. I think Mahomes is going to be inspired. I do think he's going to start week one. And it is going to be a close race between them, the Broncos, the Chargers. But I think Kenneth Walker being in the backfield is going to be a really big deal. Travis Kelce coming back is going to be a really big deal. And I think they're going to do something really great with this number 9 pick that they have, that you once thought maybe they're going to get a running back. But now, I like the Chiefs. I say it's facts. Facts!
Joe Burrow will stay healthy for the entirety of the upcoming season.
I'll say fact. I don't feel great about it. I don't trust the Bengals very much. I trust Joe Burrow, Joe Shiesty, as I call him. And he's got a tough injury history. He does. And, you know, you made the investment into Joe Flacco as a backup now, so you got that. But I don't know. If I'm a Bengals fan, can I count on a full season from Joe Burrow with this team around him? I want to say yes, so I'm gonna. But that might be a little bit more heart than head. I got to be honest with you.
How about Baker Mayfield will be in the MVP race once again?
That's fiction. That's fiction. And I love Baker Mayfield. I love his moxie. I love his edge that he plays with. But you lost Mike Evans. That's a big, big piece of this. And while he got into the MVP conversation a little bit last year, cooled off a bit, he is a winner in Tampa. He is that. But I think that NFC South, I think the Panthers may have something to say about that. We'll see if that comes around sometime in this segment. But I think the Mike Evans, the loss there, is going to really I don't think it's, like, I think Baker's still going to be good, but MVP level season is a little bit of a different animal. I say fiction.
This offseason, the Tennessee Titans have made so many big time moves to improve their team. They had 3 wins last year. Do they double their win total this year?
I say fiction. I think they're going to get close to doubling. I could see them maybe having around 5 wins. You know, when you're that bad and you're really building from scratch. I love Cam Ward. I haven't sold any of my stock. And I also really love the coaching staff that they're building there. But 3 to 5 wins, I mean, that's progress. Now, we'll see what they do in the draft, too. But I think it's going to be close to doubling it. But I say fiction.
Earlier in the week, or I guess last week, we heard about the Jets signing Geno Smith. Will Geno take the Jets to the promised land? Not this year, but at some point, will Geno take him to the promised land?
What is the promised land? What is it?
I'd say a 500 season.
Imagine that being your promised land. No. I love Geno Smith. I love his redemption story in Seattle. But this is the... You know, Aaron Glenn, when he was hired, said at his presser, "We're the freaking New York Jets, and we're built for this bleep." Verbatim what he said. Yeah, you are the New York Jets, and you are built for this, but you're the New York Jets, and that's not a good thing that you're built for. No, that's fiction.
The Giants getting healthy, got a new head coach. Will they make the playoffs with first year with new head coach?
Fact. I love the Giants. I love John Harbaugh as the coach there. I love Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabaugh. And I don't know if an OBJ reunion is going to happen. That's not the ultimate decider here, but that would be pretty cool if an OBJ reunion happened. Malik Nabers. Yeah, I think if Jackson Dart can stay healthy, because he was looking pretty darn good when he was, I could see around an 8-9 win season and getting a wild card push. I could see that. Not so sure if they're going to win that division, but I'm a believer in the Giants and what they got cooking this year. I say that's facts.
Sticking, coming back. The hometown angle.
Ah.
The Panthers had a great season last year. Will they once again win the NFC South?
Yeah. Yeah. That's facts. Facts. The Panthers are winning this division, and they're going to win it outright. They're not going to need the Falcons and the Saints and whoever loses that game to decide that they win the division. Nah, they're going to just straight up win it by having the most wins by a nice chunk. I'm a believer in what Dan Morgan's building here. I really am. Jalen Phillips, Devin Lloyd, Rasheed Walker at offensive tackle, and this receiving core of T-Mac, Coker. Maybe I've sold a little bit of my XL stock, but not all of it. He still might figure it out. But if he doesn't, guess what? John Metchie is Bryce Young's boy at Alabama in 2021. They got chemistry already. Chuba Hubbard, Jonathan Brooks. This is the making of a squad. It is. And I think they win the division. That is facts.
Okay, I didn't put this one on the paper, but I'm going to double down on it. That was the easier one. Do you think how far do they make into the playoffs then? Do they win the first round? They make in the conference finals? Where do you have them getting eliminated?
That's a good question. Good question. I mean,
I say round two.
I think I could see round two as well. I mean, it's tough when you don't have all the pieces in place yet. You haven't gotten to the draft yet. You haven't, gotten some games sample some sample games to kind of formulate a concrete opinion on that. But I could see them being a second round. I mean, and I don't want to undersell them either, because it's like they even with the team that they had last year, they went toe-to-toe with the Rams, who was a Super Bowl contender, and they really should have won that game. Sorry, but Jiro Evero playing some soft coverage and allowing Matt Stafford to go 71 yards up the gut. Ah, don't get me fired up again. I'm not in the mood for that. That's been Fact or Fiction.
Back to the Triad's longest-running live sports talk show, The Drive. Live, local, and not afraid to ruffle feathers.
Now with us here, B-Dot, the sixth man of the Tar Heels, and PJ Harrison. This is the first time I've got a chance to meet you guys, or at least meet PJ. How you guys doing?
Cooling, man.
I'm doing good, bro.
Love it, man. Love it. So I wanted to have you guys on because it's a new era of Carolina basketball now with Michael Malone. And it's funny because I was texting with B-Dot the other day, and I was telling him, like, I had not heard anybody say Michael Malone other than Tyler Hansbrough the other day on the field of 68. But then Dot was like, no. PJ Harrison had a tip on this. PJ, were you hearing stuff?
I knew his daughter played volleyball there, and I knew he was always on campus. I had no clue how many times he had, like, been to practice, though. And like I told them, I knew he was really close with someone on the staff, but I couldn't put my finger on who it was. And come to find out, it was Coach Sullivan. And, you know, I had said this maybe after the second Duke game, before Huber even got fired. I'm like, I don't know. When they were talking about Huber being gone, who would be the next person? I'm like, I mean, Mike Malone's always around, so it wouldn't hurt anything to get a championship coach in the building, so – But then, you know, here we are today, and he had his press conference yesterday. So, I mean, it's good to say that I had that first thought, but, you know, it's Tyler Hansbrough, dude. Like,
psycho.
let this be a lesson to you, man. Believe in Hills Hoops. We building something big over there, man.
I know
the podcast,
it.
Believe in Hills Hoops, with myself, PJ, and Dez, sure. Man. Like, we're really growing in that space, man, and we have some good conversation. And we know a little something over there, man. This is one of those moments.
I love it. I was going to plug it, but you took it right away, Dot. I love that. So I'll just ask you guys straight up, you know, how you guys feeling about the hire? You know, it's a dude that's won an NBA title recently. You know, because the thing that people loved about Billy Donovan is, okay, you got that NBA connection there for the new era of college basketball, but you really haven't won anything in the NBA. Well, Michael Malone won something a few years ago and was shocking the way he was fired. So how do you guys like the fit?
Well, let me just say this, man. Billy Donovan hadn't won it in the NBA, but he definitely did
in college,
on the collegiate level. You dig what I'm saying? Like, he built two powerhouse programs in Florida. So I can understand the reason to go after him. But a lot of people are saying this is a home run hire. I think it's a grand slam hire, man. Like, I think his bases loaded, out the park, Barry Bonds to the water. And it really had to grow on me, Pauls, because initially, you know, I was just upset that HD wasn't the coach, and I didn't like the way he was treated on the way out the door. But once I got the other side and just had to figure out, yo, we have to have a coach. I like Coach Malone, and I like his collegiate pedigree. I like the fact that his dad was on the staff with them Bad Boys. So, like, he got that pedigree in him, with that being one of his mentors, and then go to the NBA level where he's coached the Trevor Ariza's, the CP3's, the LeBron James, the Booby Gibson's. Like, he's not to mention he develops players like Jamal Murray and Joker into what they've become. So, like, those type things, and he has not coached on the collegiate level, but like I shared on Believe earlier, like, college is obsolete at this point anyway. Like, those are young professionals out there. So being able to manage those contracts and manage those guys and put and be on the defensive side of the ball and rebounding. And I'm very excited to have Coach Malone as a Tar Heel, man.
PJ, what about you?
Man, I love it. I told them, I watched that press conference. He had me ready to run through a wall. my favorite thing, I told them, my favorite thing from that press conference was when he said he knows those guys down the road got something good going. They've been winning a few years. He said, but I didn't come here to play second place. I didn't come here to be in second. I came here to win at a high level, and I didn't come here to be out in the first round of the ACC tournament. Like, when he said all those things, I'm like, okay. Like, this dude is serious. This dude is about his business, and I can't wait to see what he puts together with his roster because of his connections. Like, he had, like, you heard, like, he has connections in the country, but he wants to be able to reach out around the world and bring in those jokers and, you know, those Jamal Murrays from Canada and other places. But I'm excited. I'm not going to say it's been a while since I've been this excited, but it's a great feeling to have, like he said, someone new in the building. We get to learn who he is as a person and a coach before we even get to see him coach. So I think that's a great thing as well.
And let me just say, for somebody who had to transition, like I was saying earlier on Believe, like into the FAMU stratosphere from Winston-Salem State pedigree, like there is something great in him wanting to learn the culture. Like everything is new to him. Walking around campus is new to him. The banners, that's new to him. The first time he steps on the Roy Williams court inside the Dean Dome and play a game, like, that's going to be new. The rivalries are new. Like, and bringing that new energy, like, I think that's going to bode well for us, man. I'm excited about that portion of it. You dig what I'm saying? Like, not to mention, he talk like we talk. Like, he talk like he get on the phone like, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? Like, he already got stuff in motion. Chuck Martin already left Arkansas, and he en route to Chapel Hill. The Mingo brother leaving Penn State to play with his brother and possibly have both Mingo brothers in Chapel Hill. Caleb Wilson staying, y'all. We done told y'all, believe we done started praying.
PJ, is that going to happen? Is that going to happen?
He's staying, y'all. He's staying.
Look, I'm going to be real. It's no reason my dad is at the next coach's press conference. It's no reason if I'm going to be a top five pick, I'm sitting at the press conference.
Yeah.
Those things stand out. And when people – like, the biggest thing is his dad being there. So I feel like it's a situation where Caleb's like, let me just see how this press conference goes, what he talks about, and me and my dad can consult on it. But also with that, Caleb's also – trying to get Derrick Dixon to stay. So I feel like a lot of it plays if Derrick Dixon stays and they can consult and talk about it and go one more year. I don't see why not, because if he comes back, he'll be a number one pick next year. So I don't see what he's losing, but he's definitely not losing any stability as far as the draft.
Right.
Dot, I'll pose it to you because – you know, PJ just kind of mentioned a couple of things I wanted to hit on, and that is, you know, Caleb was there, and so was Derrick Dixon. A lot of the guys were there. Like, Vessar was there. So who do you think they need to be – who needs to be the highest of priorities retaining of the guys that are already here?
Is that saying if Derrick and Caleb leaves?
I'm saying, like, of the guys that they currently have – whether they've entered the portal or not, the guys that they had on this last roster, of those guys, who are some of the guys that need to be highest priority? Hey, we need to keep these guys here.
I think you go in assuming that Caleb's gone, and then I'm going to agree with Desmond 100%. He's been beating us in our head in the chat. But you got to go Henry Vassar. You got to go Jaron Stevenson. You got to keep Luka, and you got to keep Derrick Dixon. You keep those four. Those four are priority. Now, anybody else that wants to stick around, like, you know, you're going to have to work for it, because they tell me Bryson Tiller is in the portal. They tell me Juke Harris is in the portal. Mm-hmm. They tell me that the Mingo brothers in the portal. So we're going to get in this portal and get to work. And they give them
unless Caleb comes back. You said that whoever else has to come in to have to work extra hard, unless Caleb comes back.
Unless Caleb comes back. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if Caleb says, and see, again, we got 2 weeks to find out if Caleb, because if Caleb don't declare for the draft, then what would that mean?
He got a jersey that he's waiting to wear.
that means that number 8 going to get put back on his bike. You dig what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, believe in Hills Hoops. We believe that Caleb is coming back. Caleb is coming back, baby!
I mean, could you imagine him and Vesar running it back under Michael Malone? Like, we saw what he did with Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Can you imagine that high-low from Henry to Caleb? If he turns him into Joker? I told the guys in the chat, I said, if he's a glimpse of Joker, we're going to be fine.
I love it, man.
And then Billy Donovan's going to go to Kansas, and that's going to open up the spot in Chicago, and Shire's going to leave Duke, and then Duke's going to be in shambles.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Shire likes it over Duke. Now, we might be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, Don. I don't know if he's leaving.
Ask John Shire, does he want to be the head coach of the Chicago Bulls? They call that man White Mike in Chicago.
That is where he's from. So if he was going to go somewhere, you would think that would be the spot. You would think. So.
And they're already, and the fans over there already on this, oh, Shire can't get us over the hump. Shire can't do this. What would it be? How great would it be for Shire to be head coaching in the NBA? J.J. Redick to be head coaching in the NBA? Look at that. That's what's going to happen. And then Duke's going to be in shambles over there.
This guy. I love it. The sixth man of the Tar Heels, B-Dot with us, former Tar Heel P.J. Hairston with us for the first time on the show. I'm going to pose the question to you, PJ, though, because you were a former player. You wore that jersey pretty damn well, I might add. This is the first time in our lifetime that they've gone outside the family for a hire, but I felt that yesterday, while they acknowledged several times that this is going outside the family, there was still a reverence and a respect for who came previously in Dean and in Roy. We heard Malone say that numerous times yesterday, but it is going to be done his way. Like, when you hear, you know, going outside of the family for the first time, when you heard that for the first time, when this whole process started, how did that hit you as a former player?
I mean, it's new to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. So yeah. I think it was just something new for everyone. And with Mike Malone,
Michael Malone. He doesn't like Mike.
Okay. Well, Michael Malone, with him starting off saying his dad was a huge Dean Smith fan.
Yeah.
That he grew up basically watching Dean Smith. And, you know, he said his dad passed away a couple years ago. And he said that's what he thought about. His dad would love this right now. And I feel like that played obviously a huge part in it. And he's big on family. And what is it called? It's called the Carolina family for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told the guys earlier, it's like when everybody, all the old basketball players, the alums are all in one room, it's just like it's like you're in a safe space because nobody judges anyone. Everybody's been there before. Everybody's played in that arena. So it's like you're not in there with people that haven't been there before. So everyone in there has a respect level for each other. And, of course, Dez brought up, well, what about MJ? I'm like, that's a different type of respect, right? That's like when he walks in, it's like everybody does this, you know. But it's the same respect all around. And I think that's one of the biggest things that Michael Malone is going to learn is that how close everyone is and, you know, how family-oriented Carolina basketball is.
So Michigan, they win the title the other night, and Dot, you and I were texting throughout the game because we were watching what Elliot Cadeau was doing and just talking about the story that he's had since, you know, leaving Carolina and kind of the way in which he left Carolina. You know, a lot of fans were saying a lot of things about him. And he goes and he proves everybody wrong at Michigan. Now, I think Dusty May had a lot to do with that as well. And the system, they let him loose. You know, they let him do his thing. But how cool is that for you watching Elliot Cadeau win the most outstanding player of the Final Four?
I don't think cool is how I described it. It super sucked to see our point guard up there in a different jersey winning MOP. That was supposed to be an MOP with us.
Yeah.
Like, imagine him with Henry Vassar and Caleb Wilson on the wing and Seth Trimble. Like, my God, if he'd have just gave us one more year. So that's honestly what I was thinking. Damn, EC, you left us a year too early. Like, the reality is EC didn't have the weapons at Carolina that he had at Michigan. And his stats are comparable. He was still reckless with the ball at times. He was still horrific shooting times. But he had such huge giants at Michigan that could make up for a lot of his mistakes that he just didn't have at Carolina. A lot of people saying that he went to Michigan and he developed at Michigan more than at Carolina. And I just don't believe that. Like, I don't see him doing anything now that I didn't see him doing at Peach Jam when I went to go see him about 3-4 years ago at EYBL. Like, he was still shifty. He's fast. He gets to the basket. He have a turnover or two. He's going to play defense. He's going to scream and be a big bully. And I saw those same things in Michigan, but on a person level, like, just as a person, right? Like, put the jerseys to the side, put the schools to the side, and let's just talk about being a person, a human being, and the things that he had to go through as a human being, the things that he saw, the things that he read when really he was just a kid playing basketball, trying to figure it out. And he got to listen to and see, like, things said about his mom and things said about his family and things said about him. And when you see so much of that, when you hear so much of that, you really start to believe it. So for him to be able to go to Michigan and be able to be confident enough to bounce back and to have the mental fortitude to go out there and play his best and win MOP, I just thought it was a great freaking story for anybody, but especially for Elliott. And I felt like he deserved it, yo.
You know, PJ, can you believe this? So Dot was giving me some grief on social media the other night, because I was watching the Michigan-Arizona game, watching Michigan put the belt on Arizona.
Bedazzled.
The bedazzled belt, that's right. And I tweeted out, I was like, man, I hate that we got robbed of a Duke-Michigan rematch in the championship. And Dot was like taken aback by this. He's like, what are you talking about? So, I mean, full disclosure, I'm a Carolina fan, but I had Duke win it at all. I wanted to get the rematch. I wanted to be right, Dot.
I did too.
I did too. I had Duke winning it all on my bracket.
I had to win it all too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But boy, was I happy when they did.
Oh, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, would I have rather them get to Michigan and play Michigan, or would I rather them have lost the way they lost? And lost the way they lost 10 million times. It's not even a question. I wasn't robbed of anything. They get to say, we beat Michigan earlier in the season. A healthy us, we beat Michigan. Kudos.
Good job.
It is insane, the list of just – because what stung so much for Duke is the fact that Cameron Boozers don't just grow on trees. Cooper Flags don't just grow on trees. And you have this all-time level talent year after year, and you can go down that list that has Zion and Tatum on it. Zero chips.
Bro, last year's team – two of the starters are competing for rookie of the year.
Yeah, they are.
Right now.
How about them Hornets?
How about them? No, how about them Swarm behind you? Hey. I'm on my way to Greensboro right now. As soon as
you gonna
get
be there?
Here, yeah, I'm there tonight.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah.
Y'all, all three
we're
of
hanging. Love it.
Yeah, Swarm. In the finals, baby. We're in the finals.
6 man of the Tar Heels, B-Dot, PJ Hairston, Bleavin' Heels Hoops with our guy Desmond Johnson. Guys, I appreciate you doing this, and I guess I'll see you in a little bit.
Absolutely, man.
Let's do it.